السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters. How's everyone doing?
وعليكم السلام
وعليكم
ورحمة الله
السلام.
وبركاته. الحمد لله تمام. How you doing, man?
الحمد لله man. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله.
Everything is going very very well. Allahumma barik. I see the nur on Rami's face.
الحمد
MashaAllah.
لله.
Allahumma barik.
الحمد لله
Yo,
يا رب.
I'm fire too, but Rami has the lighting on point right now.
And Rami got that extra nur today. Allahumma barik.
Yeah.
Jeez, Allahumma barik, bro. You look like a pretty boy with a beard.
Pretty boys can't have beards.
Nah,
bro. Come on, then they wouldn't be pretty boys.
Barakallah feekum. May Allah make me
exactly.
Happy.
Jeez, bro. SubhanAllah. All right, cool.
Audio needs fixing.
So, whose audio? Probably mine, man. Because I'm the one rocking the this. They got the professional mics right now.
Look at that side profile. Allahumma barik. Boys, what are we talking about today?
Self-improvement. Emotional intelligence. We're going to get into this very, very, very deep. Well, at least we can start, you know, because there's a lot of levels to this. There's definitely a lot of levels to this. But before we even start, in light of what we have all come together to make happen today, alhamdulillah, the BYA, Break Your Addiction, the Umma Academy, this is the first of many, many courses that we have to come. So if you are a part of that, stay tuned. If you're not a part of that, what are you doing? Get into it. I'm telling y'all, like, it's all about self-improvement. The first course is about breaking the addiction. And then the courses that are coming after that, finances, marriage, nutrition, fitness, the list goes on and on.
Breaking your addiction,
and,
bro. Addiction to what?
And listen, bro, the first one is breaking your addiction to pornography. Because let's be honest, most guys have this issue.
That's there goes the video.
That's the sad truth. But listen. Listen, no, we gotta see how it is, bro. Even if the whole video gets demonetized or something like this, bro. Like, people gotta know. People gotta know, bro. But anyways, yeah, man, there is levels to this stuff. And the last thing that I'm gonna say on this regard is that it's not just us, right? It's not just us that are making this course or this whole platform. Like, we're gonna be bringing different instructors who are masters, experts. They have the experience, they have the expertise in their fields of knowledge. So it's not going to be like, I don't know, me speaking about marriage when, like, bro, I've only been married for a few months. Alhamdulillah, but like, bro, I'm by no means like a master in this field. So just a little sneak peek. A little sneak peek. No, sneak. What's the word?
Peek.
Sneak peek,
bro.
Why am I saying peek? Sneak peek.
You haven't slept in 36 hours, that's why.
Jeez, bro. All right, but alhamdulillah. So with this being said, self-improvement, guys. I want us to go into what we've been talking about with self-improvement. And if you guys want, I can definitely start with the first thing that I've been going into. Because again, there's level six. But I'm very curious as to, like, what have you guys been doing for self-improvement? Because we recently talked, you know, that we wanted to grow the channel. We wanted to better ourselves. And that takes a lot of self-improvement. So y'all want to take one of y'all want to take the floor first? Or you want me to?
Yeah, so I'm just actually right adding the link now to the description box. So inshallah, one of y'all can just carry while I do that.
Yeah, inshallah, I'll jump in. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, subhanAllah. For me, I want to better myself in many ways, alhamdulillah. And I have a lot of things I need to improve on. But the biggest thing that I wanted to improve on was my ability to communicate my ideas effectively and in a way where people could really grasp what I'm trying to say. and not just understand it in a logical sense or a rational sense. You know, obviously that's important, but for it to really impact their heart, there's a whole emotional aspect to that that I think a lot of people, including myself, overlook. And a great way to do this is storytelling. And I'm not going to tell a story now, but a great way to get the point across is to tell a story. So I've been studying what makes a good story, a good storyteller, what makes a good speaker, and a good interviewer, a good interviewer. And that's mainly where I want to take my game to the next level. But another avenue, and this is obviously the best time to do it, is with my Islam, inshallah. Both my personal ibadah, reading of the Quran, and also learning, you know, like usul al-fiqh, fiqh, ilm al-hadith, aqidah, all these beautiful oceans of knowledge that somebody could go after. And alhamdulillah, I finally found a good few resources to jump into that, inshallah. But how about you guys?
Inshallah. Bro, no. I think we should definitely go into that more. What resources have you found?
So I came across a Hanafi scholar of fiqh, and I had asked a few questions, and I asked for a few resources. He said he can get me kind of situated with a few people who could teach me. So he told the student to reach out to me, alhamdulillah. And this student was, he's amazing. Allahumma barak. Subhanallah, he's a very, very bright young man. He has his own madrasa, his own school, and he teaches a variety of courses, including aqidah and I believe Maliki fiqh as well. So may Allah bless our brother. He got me situated with, I believe it's a website called Seeker's Guidance, and it's 100% free and it's all online. They have beginner, intermediate, and then like a level three kind of thing. I won't call it expert, but level one, two, and three. And they teach Shafi'i fiqh and Hanafi fiqh as well. So I'm very excited to jump into that, inshallah.
No, I'm very ignorant when it comes to this.
Is this cap or is this legit?
No.
It's a cap, as far as
I'm pretty sure if that was real, man, we probably would have heard it from Jewel himself.
Yeah. But let's stay on topic, inshallah. Let's jump back.
Inshallah. Yeah. Okay. So again, I'm very ignorant when it comes to these things. So what would you say to a layman like myself to kind of start to break these things down in a more simplistic manner?
What things specifically? The Islamic side of things?
Yeah, like I wish I could repeat what you said, bro, but I'm running on fumes right now, bro. I'm fried.
I feel you. No worries, inshallah. Let me try and make it simple. So our religion is a few matters, right? The most important of which for people like us are two, right? There's the aqidah, our belief. What do we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about our place in this world and so on and so forth. And the other one is the rulings, because this encompasses everything. You know, what do you think and what do you do, right? What do you know and how do you act? So fiqh are the rulings. You know, this is halal, or it's a sunnah, or it's an obligation, or it's disliked, or it's absolutely haram. And they break down what all those things mean as well. And then the other one is very, you know, basic. It's aqidah. And I wouldn't focus too much on who you learn from, as long as they're teaching you the basics and you know that this is a person with knowledge who's accredited and with good manners. A lot of people are really, really, and I was like this once upon a time as well, very worried about where we seek knowledge and who we get it from. And although you don't want to learn from someone who's going to misguide you, you know, you also don't want to be paralyzed by some crazy analysis of every little thing that a person says and does. And unfortunately, there are some groups out there on, I'd say, both ends of the spectrum for Muslims that do that, unfortunately. So focus on the basics and learn from those who you know will be good, inshallah.
Inshallah. No, that makes sense, bro. Because today in cancel culture, everyone's exposing someone else and critiquing. And there's a time for that in Islam, but I'm talking about this drama, right? So a lot of people can't take one another seriously, or there's a little bit of walking on eggshells. Who should I study under? Yeah. It's very good that you said that.
Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. So where would your self-improvement journey start? Or where has it started?
Hold up. Did we say Ramadan Mubarak?
You know, I remembered it in the beginning, then I completely forgot. So
the Ramadan, exactly, Mubarak.
I was, yeah, man, mashallah.
Ramadan, Mubarak, to the Three Muslims family. Alhamdulillah, about 150K strong. And probably a couple of 100K more that just haven't hit subscribe yet, but we know you're watching. We know what you're doing. May Allah grant you all a wonderful Ramadan. Accept our du'as, accept our fasts, accept our ibadah. Protect us in this time. Allow us to overcome our sins. As Rami says, you know, the small shayateen are locked up, as the hadith mentions. So what a time to use this, almost like a cheat code or a boost, to overcome our addictions. And with that being said, this brings us to overcoming your main pornography addiction. Links in the description.
You know, actually, on that note, subhanAllah, it's so beautiful, because Ramadan really is the best time to break that habit, that addiction in particular. And the reason is because the hadith, we all know of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he advised the young men, you know, if you want to control your desires, then get married. And if you can't, then fast. And we're already fasting to begin with, so it's already diminished. And on top of that, shayateen are locked away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really has blessed us with this Ramadan. And it's that he's made it, honestly, the easiest time for you to better yourself. And if you find that you at the beginning of Ramadan is the same you at the end of Ramadan, then you really have to look back and question how much you really put into it and how much you really focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your connection with him, reading the Quran and your self-improvement, inshallah.
Yeah. Nah, man, that makes sense. So, bro, wait, okay. So, going into this, you know, you start going a lot into the Islamic portion of your self-improvement. And instead of jumping all over the place, Fire, what would you say your self-improvement for the Islamic part of everything has been for you?
Main thing is finishing the Quran. This is why I'm reading the Quran. And inshallah, I want
You never finished the Quran?
I did. But I'm doing it properly this time.
Oh, okay.
With reflection, with tafsir. Yeah, I've done it many times since I was a kid, but it comes a certain point in your life when you get that, like, hidayah, and then you start renewing your intention with everything. You start praying differently than you've ever prayed in your life. So I'm doing that with the Quran too. And just different things in general, bro. I never used to take things as seriously as I do now, alhamdulillah. So it's almost like there's before that shift and then after that shift. And once you make that shift, anything that was there before, I don't even feel like it counted, bro. May Allah knows best. May Allah count it. But I feel like having that hidayah and that niyyah on 10, it's different, bro. It feels good. It feels right. It doesn't feel like you're just ticking things off your to-do list.
So have you chosen someone's tafsir to start, like, looking into? Or is it something that you're still kind of looking to see which one?
I've been using Sahih International. Sometimes they have different scholars or sheikhs, but I did use tafsir of Ibn Khatir for a little bit. But I did want to ask Rami, which ones you think are the best ones for a layman?
I think the most accessible is, and I think maybe easier to read, is tafsir of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. And he's a very, you know, accredited scholar, tafsir as well. May Allah bless him, have mercy on him. But I would say above and beyond that, I would say go to tafsir classes. I wouldn't say, especially if you're a layman, or a beginner, more accurately, don't just jump into reading things, because you might actually end up confusing yourself if you come across certain explanations of ayat that you don't understand, or maybe the translation isn't done in the best way, or there's some context you should have that you don't exactly understand. It's much better to go to a class and learn under someone who studied it, or, you know, Numan Ali Khan has a lot of tafsir online.
Allahumma barik, bro. Jazakallah khair for that. And then continuing forward, I have also, I think I shared this with Rami, maybe with Anhel, but I wanted to start studying under a sheikh, like, a little bit more formally. And of course, it's better, everyone knows, to study in person. It's a different ballgame, bro. Studying, you know, at the feet of the scholars, as they say. And it's very humbling. But online isn't, you know, horrible. It's the next best thing. And he's in the UK. I don't want to expose it. But inshallah, I will start studying under him a little bit more continuously. Because Rami has been talking about the benefits of having a sheikh or multiple shuyukh and studying under them versus just kind of this self-paced thing. And we had a little bit of taste of that, me and Anhel and Rami, in the past. And when you have real knowledge, it's much different than YouTube lectures or Muslim entertainment dawah on YouTube.
Yeah, you're no longer the Google Sheikh. This protein tafsir that you guys are talking about, I need that right now, bro, to be honest with you. But this tafsir of Ibn Kathir, is that the one that Gabriel showed us, the one of the Egyptian brother?
No, that's a different one. That's a different one. I forget the name, but that's different.
That's a long one, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, that's the one he was like telling me about. He was like, yeah, bro, this one is legit, man.
Yeah. He said something like he's been already doing it for, I think, 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, and he barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, that's actually,
that's, man, scholarship. That's scholarship.
Actually, I think I could find it right now.
I was talking to one of my friends, and he was saying like how there's many instances where different people came to, let's say, a couple Sahaba, you know, like either Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhum, and basically they asked them simple questions, like, you know, things that they should know because they knew the Prophet the most. And these people said, oh, I don't know, like, I don't want to answer it, go to Ibn Umar. Or, and then it was like, oh, go to Aisha radiallahu anha. Like, these people were so hesitant, the people that understood the Prophet and understood Islam better than all of us. And they were so hesitant in answering things because they knew the responsibility that they bear. And it just goes to show how people today are just speaking with such arrogance and certainty. And when I found that out, it's almost so humbling, bro. Like, you got to think 10 times before you say anything, especially given like a platform and stuff like that. And I definitely know that in the past, I can't speak on the brother's behalf, but at least for me, I didn't really take that seriously because we've been on YouTube for like 2 years. And again, as they say, the more you learn, the more you realize that you don't know anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And while Anhil sets on his journey to find that tafsir that he needs to find so desperately, inshallah, let's jump back to the self-improvement. So people who clicked on this video, they're wondering, what is self-improvement? You know, Anhil dipped. He doesn't want to talk about self-improvement. People who clicked on the video, they want to know, what is self-improvement? You know, why is it important? Why do I need it? And I think that's a good question. So I want to ask you two questions. One, what is self-improvement / why is it important? And two, where does it start?
Self-improvement is improvement of oneself. Can I use it as a definition?
I have no idea.
I look at it as this Japanese principle called Kaizen, which just means you basically just improve yourself a little bit every single day. And these small changes of improving yourself over time lead to big, big changes, night and day differences. So I consider that self-improvement. And there's many avenues of self-improvement. We have the physicality, we have the mentality, we have spirituality, we have finances. There's many things. But I think Islam, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, it almost over encompasses everything together. And it's almost like now just Muslim self-improvement. So if you're trying to become a better Muslim, right? Because I'm assuming this is what our podcast is about. It's not just self-improvement, but it's mainly for Muslims. And to be a better Muslim, being a better Muslim by definition means you are going to improve physically. You are going to improve mentally. You are going to improve spiritually, financially. These are all things that Allah wants and the Prophet wants for us. You know what I mean? But how would Anhel define self-improvement? And then Rami, what was your second question?
Where does this start?
Sheikh, what do you have to say?
No, I was going to say I found the tafsir. The tafsir is in the shade of the Quran. And the guy's name. Oh, what's his name, bro?
I felt Rami's facial expression right now.
What?
Nothing, bro.
Do you guys not want me to say this?
Nah, you good, bro.
You can. It's just like it's old news.
Yeah, it's old news, bro. It's done.
Oh, my bad. I literally got off the stream just to find it. So my bad. I didn't know it was old news, bro. I didn't know it was on that old stuff.
You good, bro? You're like 5 seconds too late.
It's okay.
Yeah, for real, bro. Go ahead. But,
is very well attested to. But so I was just asking, and people who clicked on this video, they want to know about self-improvement. That's why they're here, inshallah. So I asked two questions. One, what is it? And two, where does it start?
My bad. I was messing around with the screen, bro. Please repeat yourself. What is it and where does it start?
Yeah, what is self-improvement and where does self-improvement start?
Okay, self-improvement. Have you guys said it?
Well, I said what I had to say.
What did you have to say? Because I don't think I was on here when you were saying it.
All right, so I said self-improvement is just improving yourself a little bit and using the definition, using the terminology in the meaning and in the definition like I always do, but خلاص يعني, you improve yourself a little bit every single day in different aspects. And when it comes to Muslim self-improvement, astaghfirullah, becoming a better Muslim and improving yourself means that all the other areas of kafir or, I guess, secular self-improvement are already going to be lifted anyway. So becoming a better Muslim means physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, religiously, you're just becoming a better man or a woman anyway. So I think that Muslim self-improvement is the highest level of self-improvement that you can have.
I like that. I agree with that 100%, man. I think any Muslim would agree with this 100%.
Yeah.
May Allah bless you for that reassurance.
Taib. And now the second question, where does it start?
So it starts with being like aware, like mentally aware. Because how can you change something if you're just not aware that you have a problem or you have something that you need to improve on in the first place?
Yeah,
you know, like, bro, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I didn't think that me speaking slow was a problem, to be honest, but clearly it's a problem when people are over here speeding my damn videos up like 2x, 4x speed, bro. So me realizing that, it's like, oh, okay, I need to do something. I need to see, okay, well, why do I speak slow in the first place? When did this start? And then how can I break this? And then it's like, once you have that awareness, that's when you start to dive into different parts and you start to understand yourself better. And by understanding yourself better, it's, I don't know. It's again, it goes back to the being Muslim. Like being Muslim is the highest level of self-improvement. Because if you're truly, truly proper, like on the deen, and you're truly trying to get closer to Allah, like it's these things, you have this awareness. You always have this awareness. You're always trying to get better.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to talk a little bit about Muslim self-improvement being the best. So firstly, what is Muslim self-improvement? It's basically bettering yourself to fit the ideal Muslim standard. And this goes for men and women individually, you know, and it also has to do with your role in life. You know, if you're an employee, there are good etiquettes of being an employee. If you're a student, there are good etiquettes, pardon me, of being a student. If you're a son, there are good etiquettes of being a son towards your parents. Siblings, same exact thing. But most important is your relationship with Allah and understanding your place in the world, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's such a blessing, because not only is it objectively true that these things are best, you know, praying your salah on time, giving in charity, being reasonable, having good character, smiling at people, being kind. These are all beautiful traits that any human being would like to see in themselves and others. And Islam solidifies it and gives us that acknowledgement that this is actually what's good and a subjective from Allah. But moreover, it's so clear, it's highlighted, it's outlined there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes above and beyond, and He will actually reward us for these things, alhamdulillah. So it's a win-win that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies for us.
That's true.
Subhanallah.
Inshallah. So now a person has self-reflected. They found their shortcomings. Maybe they've looked at the Quran and the Sunnah. They looked at the Prophet and they said, okay, the Prophet is all the way up there and I'm all the way down here. What's the next step?
I think number one, to understand that we shouldn't get overwhelmed with how much enormity there is to become better. And this can, people can get carried away with this and take super baby steps. That's not what I'm saying. But becoming a better Muslim in all aspects is very difficult than any other religion. It does take a lot. So we must understand that we shouldn't be too hard on ourselves. And burnout is a real thing, and that Allah expects progress and not perfection. But bearing this in mind, Angel, what would you say after that?
So my answer actually ties into my reason for not answering. And that is that I don't have the knowledge on this. Like, I'm no one, bro. I have no understanding. Like, I really know nothing. And that's like the first step of this whole like self-improvement type thing. And that's not to like put you down for your answer, but it's just to say like we had a brother on here, and when he was asked a question, bro, he stayed quiet for a bit, and he's like, you know what, like, I don't feel like I'm qualified to speak on this, so I'm just gonna tell you what the scholars have said. And it's like realizing that you truly know nothing, and then starting to go to the scholars for like different things that you come across. You know, I think that's very, very important to start the whole self-improvement journey in the Muslim, the Islamic area.
Yeah, bro, this is deeper than like, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream, you know? This is like something that has real world consequences that sometimes we are speaking out of pocket on. So it's a very good reminder. Jazakallah khair.
No, you're...
Rami, I just wanted to address two quick things before we go on.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody asked, Brother Ismail asked, thoughts on Bobby's perspective, you mean, conversion. Alhamdulillah, he's a new brother in Islam, and we have a stream with him coming up very soon. So stay tuned for that, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And Islam writes, guys, Vlad and Yugan said you are having a podcast on Saturday. Inshallah, it's Saturday, if not next week. We're just trying to figure out the dates because we accidentally double booked, but we'll figure that out. And so inshallah, Bobby's perspective and the two brothers, Vlad and Yugan, beautiful brothers, mashallah. Inshallah, we'll be on the stream.
Inshallah, we'll have two shahadas that day.
Oof.
Inshallah, you know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So I think it's always important to know what you either what you want or what you need, you know. So in this case, looking at the Prophet would be phenomenal, because you get to see where you're at in some of your habits, and then you get to see some of the habits the Prophet had that were good and some of the habits that he didn't have that he would avoid. Right? For example, he didn't make people feel like unwelcomed or uncared for. He had a habit of making everyone feel loved. He had a habit of smiling. He had a habit, and the Sahaba had a habit of making dua for the group before they left, when they parted ways. You know, these are beautiful things. And the more clear of a vision that you have for how you should be, the easier it'll be to get to that point. Now it's just a matter of implementing it. And that's why Islam is so powerful, because Islam is self-improvement, if you think about it, right? Being a Muslim is basically just self-improvement till you die. And it's funny, because we use these like secular terms or whatever people want to call it, like self-improvement, and maybe it's been oversaturated for some people, but that's what it means to be a Muslim. You know, you learn about, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. You learn how to be better, and then you work towards it, you know, knowledge and then action, right? Well, intention, and then seeking the knowledge, and then intention again, and then action again until you die. And it's such a mercy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually tells us in the Quran that the Prophet is the perfect example for us. He tells us how to improve. He gives us the full Quran, right? And when somebody asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the Prophet and what he implemented from the Quran, she said he was the Quran. He was like a walking, talking Quran, because he implemented everything that I had. So it's very clear for us, alhamdulillah. It's just a matter of learning Islam, learning the deen, learning what Allah wants, learning what the Prophet did, and emulating that and implementing it in your life, inshallah.
Yes, 100%, man. And I cannot say that like I know what I'm speaking about most of the time here when it comes to Islam. But what I can say from my own experience, like what I've been realizing, is that what you said is completely true. Like, knowing exactly what you want to get into when it comes to learning the deen and all this, like, what exactly, like, what field do you want to learn, or what in what path do you want to take your Islamic knowledge and understanding? You know, like, just recently I realized what it is that I wanted to like go into, and it's such a beautiful thing, because it now gives you direction, and with direction you move a lot more efficiently.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's a beautiful point. And I don't like the person who said this quote, but I like the quote. And I'm sure he got it from someone else anyways. So I'm going to say, inshallah. He said, ideas don't come out fully formed, and they only become more clear as you work on them. So it's very troublesome sometimes when we begin a journey, you know. For example, the Breaking Your Addiction course that we just dropped, brought to you by Angel himself. It might be troublesome, might be worrisome in the beginning. What?
It's brought to by four brothers. Not just me, bro. Four brothers. Remember this. Remember this.
From the four Muslims, inshallah.
Mm.
So it's
no, bro. You need a nap, bro.
I need to sleep, bro. I'm delusional right now.
Yeah, they get very hysterical when they're tired and they need sleep. It's funny.
Inshallah.
But when you start on a new journey, you don't have that full sense of direction. Sometimes it becomes worrisome and almost deteriorating, you know, that I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know even the next step. But that's when, you know, kind of just working towards it in whatever way you can really will help you identify what steps need to be taken. And a personal example I could use is, I know I wanted to be a better speaker. I know I wanted to communicate my ideas more effectively. I didn't know what that meant. So you just go into it. You start learning about it. You start listening to people who you think are great speakers. And then you begin to pick up on things. You know, the way they speak, the way certain inflection that they use in tactics, the tone, word choice, and sometimes what they don't say, not giving too many extra details. All of these things, you know, pointed me in a certain direction. And that's how I, you know, I got closer to that goal on that journey, alhamdulillah. And I'm still, you know, very beginner in that. But I think in that, inshallah, people can see some kind of wisdom or inspiration in how they can take themselves to the next level, even if they don't really know what that looks like.
And how would we tie this into emotional intelligence, Anho? Given that in self-improvement, it's very humiliating, it's very humbling. But many people kind of go to the other extreme where they think, okay, I'm on self-improvement. Now I'm going to forget where I used to be. And I think I'm better than other people. And they almost lose this sense of empathy, which is normal because you're increasing your competence, right? You're actually getting better in stats. But it doesn't mean that it's okay for you to now lose emotional intelligence. So do you want to go into that?
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. There's levels to this. There's different stages, you know, and there's a stage where, one, you're really incompetent and you have no awareness whatsoever and no emotional intelligence, right? Then you get the awareness. And then with this awareness, you start to become more competent because you realize where you're lacking. And then as you start to become more competent, it's almost like you gain this superiority complex, or not a superiority complex, let me take that back. You gain what you said, where you have this like lack of, what's the word? What's the exact word that you used? Lack of regard? Like a lack of regard when like someone, lack of empathy. So you start to have this lack of empathy. But then it's like you realize you were in one extreme, then you went into this other extreme, and then now it's like, okay, well, let me start to like bring it into this middle path. And the middle path is like, well, that's emotional intelligence. You know, you have the competence and awareness over yourself. And because you have that over yourself, you're able to recognize that in others. You know, like if you know, like let's say you're having a conversation with someone. You're getting maybe worked up about something. If you can have the mental awareness and the capacity to just take a step back and really ask yourself, well, why am I getting upset about this? Like, why am I being triggered about this specific thing? And then you find, like, you pinpoint everything and you can start to understand yourself, and then these things no longer trigger you. Bro, like, you now understand someone else when they're being triggered. And instead of, like, you being in a reactive state to this person when they get triggered, You now are coming in a responsive state. And there's a difference between reacting and responding to a situation.
Would you say that a reaction is impulsive and a response is kind of, premeditated, thought about?
Proactive.
100%, bro. Let's take the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this lady, her son had passed away, and the Prophet had gone to the funeral, and he was next to her, and she was basically like, for lack of a better word, she was cursing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't even know that was him, right? She didn't even know it was him, and we've spoken about this many times, but he could have reacted in that situation. He could have been who are you? Like, who are you? Like, I'm the Prophet of Allah. Astaghfirullah. He could have said so much. He could have said, like, oh, I'm the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he didn't do any of this. He just stayed quiet. He listened to what she had to say. And he understood, okay, she's experienced this strong emotion right now because of what she's going through. And she's saying things that don't, it's not a direct reflection of who she is. It's a reflection of the emotion that she's experiencing right now. And he was able to put that aside and give her sincere nasiha. And then he left. And then again, in the story, that's when someone comes up to her and is like, oh, do you know who you were just talking to? That's the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then she ended up reverting, well, not reverting, but she ended up converting to Islam, accepting Islam, because she saw, like, basically how proper the Prophet was. You know?
So
Was
that
that
is.
she already Muslim to begin with?
Oh, that I don't know. I might be butchering it. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm very
But the listen,
ignorant when it comes to these things.
the message still holds weight, bro, in reality. And science today has proven this, what the Prophet ﷺ has been talking about or explicating and demonstrating 1400 years ago, subhanAllah. And at the end of the day, science has shown that when we have basically some type of a stimulus, right? Before we have a response, there's a little bit of a grace period and a little bit of a brink. And in this space, we actually have time to actually choose how we will respond. Many people are very immersed into just being kind of like a robot in a way, or just almost being on autopilot. That's the only way I can explain it. That they're not aware of their thoughts and how they behave and how their thought will basically allow them to change how they behave. So many people, they don't know that in this space, you can actually take a step back and decide how you want to react or respond, like Rami and Anhul are saying. Most people are unaware, so they just think, okay, if I get a trigger from something that's going to make me angry, I'm going to go off. If I get a trigger from something that makes me sad, I'm going to cry or get emotional. If I get a something that makes me sad, I'm going to get depressed. But you can actually choose to a greater or lesser extent how you react, and many people are unaware of this. I'll try to find like a study or something and put it in the description, inshallah.
And on a side note, this right here, awareness. I'm aware that I am completely ignorant when it comes to these things, and I have a poor, I guess you could say that, like, mental, not mental cognition, but what's the thing when you're not retracting, but extracting. Like, you learn something, and then you're pulling that thing out that you learned. Right, so I
Memory,
don't know, man.
lucidity.
Or memory recall, I don't know, bro.
Yeah, it's basically when you
Whatever.
have
Khalas,
something stored and
khalas
you're trying to encode it, but you can't find that exact thing.
yani. Yeah, khalas yani. So this is
Tafadhal, Sheikh.
like I this is again, this is a clear example. I'm mentally aware of this, and I know that that's something that I have to clearly work on. Right? And
Alhamdulillah.
I know that I have to be more proper in this. And I know that I have to, like, be able to recall certain hadiths, if I'm going to speak about certain hadiths or
We
anything
are
in Islam,
the
because that's not the bro, come
Bro,
on, man, don't expose him now.
that's not the Warner, bro. That's the alert, man.
Allow me, bro. You're gonna make me act up. Someone wrote, I bet she became Muslim after. Now we gotta know. We gotta find that story now and that hadith.
Alam.
Allah knows best. Allah knows best.
Let me search that up while y'all guys talk, because we should definitely share this with the viewers before we wrap it up.
Inshallah, inshallah, if we can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So.
Go on.
No, no, go ahead, bro.
No, yeah, I think you were finishing.
Well, wait, wait. Go ahead.
Sorry. Are you sure you finished your thought? You don't want to.
Yeah. I was just messing around with you, bro.
Okay. No worries. So, I wanna dig a little deeper into what emotions are, because to understand emotional intelligence, you have to understand what emotions are to begin with. So, emotions are impulses to act. You know, that's why people say, "Oh, he was moved by emotion." You know, he was moved by his love of the woman or whatever, because emotions are moving. That's what they do. And these emotional impulses are actually tools. There's a lot of, I'd say, stigma. There are a lot of a big stigma around emotions being bad or making someone like weak, or, you know, we shouldn't use emotions. And especially for men, it's put onto other men, like, don't be emotional. But what does that mean? Emotions are impulses to act. When you see a freaking grizzly bear and you want to run, you're not logically deducing that you should run. It happens like that. Okay, I'm out of there. I'm gone. Or if you need to fight and it's better not to run but to fight, then, you know, that's what happens as well. So emotions, no matter what it is, that impulse is a tool to help you reach a certain goal. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about emotion. That's why, you know, it's not very logical or rational, because the goal could vary depending on the person, right? Like I mentioned, fear is a tool that's used to protect us. Sometimes when you're getting a weird vibe from somebody, it's not necessarily some energy that's in the room that they're giving off that you feel. It's more likely subtle things that they're you know, saying or doing, or the way they say something or the way they do something doesn't exactly add up. And subconsciously you pick up on it, and the emotion you feel of discomfort or unease is because your tools, your emotions are at work. And that's a beautiful thing. And these tools could be used in a variety of ways, you know, and it's beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, and I think this is beautifully profound. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, do not insult their gods. And he says, lest they insult Allah, you know, otherwise basically they're going to insult Allah. And then Allah says, thus Allah makes their deeds appealing to them. What does this mean? This means you can emotionally influence someone to do something bad and feel good about it, because they tie it with this revenge that they're getting over you.
Yeah.
Likewise, they say that gratitude is the emotion that motivates and pushes people the most. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeals to our gratitude or lack of gratitude many times in the Quran, which what it induces and triggers that tool, that emotion you have. I've been lacking. I need to be grateful to my Lord. He created me. He sustained me. He gave me everything I have. And what have I done for him? Nothing. Can I do anything for him? No. Let me be grateful. These tools, these emotions are beautiful. So just like, you know, you get a cut on your hand and you feel pain, that feeling tells you something is wrong. You could get a mental feeling, an emotion telling you something is wrong. And that's why I like to liken a physical feeling like pain to emotional feelings like fear and love and happiness and contentment and so on and so forth. Because the person who's, you know, out of touch with their emotions or doesn't care to be in touch with their emotions is like a person who can't feel any pain, you know, leaving their hand on a hot stove. They're just going to get
burned. What do you mean likened?
I liken them to each other. I'm comparing them to each other to make it easier for people to grasp. And I think, inshallah, once I finish the example, it'll make more sense. So the person who's out of touch with their emotions and has no regard for them is like the person who can't feel any physical pain, you know, leaving their hand on a stove, a hot stove. You know, they don't realize, because they can't feel pain, they don't realize that it's burning them. But it is.
So that's stupid.
Exactly. So the person who's out of touch with their emotion is not going to realize that they're neglecting a super important tool, and that they're probably burning themselves, burning bridges, burning their relationships over and over and over again, because they don't care enough to, you know, to really use that tool of emotion to their advantage. And
so interesting.
Yeah, and that's why it's important.
This circles around.
Yeah, how so?
It circles around to the main thing that we're saying, that, like, you know, being Muslim is the highest level of self-improvement. Yeah. Because you just made this example of, like, okay, if you put your hand on the stove and, like, you keep your hand on the stove and it's literally burning and you just keep your hand on there, that's the same as, like, you being, like, ignoring your emotions or, like, trying to push your emotions aside. Look at the kuffars, bro. Look at the kuffars. It's, like, the big thing that's being pushed in the kuffar world is, like, oh, like, be emotionless. Like, put your emotions aside and all that stuff. When it's like, we should be doing the exact opposite. No, we shouldn't be emotional, but we should be emotionally intelligent. Exactly. And we should be aware. And, or actually, how does Wahab say it? He doesn't like that word. He says socially aware or something like this.
Yeah, he doesn't like the word emotionally intelligent. May Allah bless him.
It's beautiful, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. You got one extreme of unrestrained emotionality, and then you got another extreme of just suppressing. Both are not good. I was actually talking to Rami yesterday about the effects when we see a lot of brothers that, in a way, kind of suppress how they feel. And we both agreed that at the end of the day, when it comes to almost just being authentic and sincere, yes, we shouldn't just let everything out and just explode on people, which is why I said unrestrained emotionality is not good. But the best thing that you could do is always speak your truth and always kind of have a way of carrying yourself and have a way of getting this out. And it was a reminder, first and foremost, to myself, because how many times is it so easy to resort to one extreme? And as Anha always says, when you're in one extreme, everything else seems like it's in the other extreme, even if it's the middle path. And I genuinely believe we're lacking people that understand emotional intelligence today. And it's a shame that this is not, like, one of the most important things that they're taught, and how everyone just kind of skips over this or skims through this, thinks it's, like, secondary or, like, an afterthought.
Yeah,
I said that.
No, you said the part about how when you're in one extreme, everything else seems in another extreme. And then I just said the rest.
I don't remember saying that, though. I know I said something about one extreme, then you dip into another, but, like, I don't know.
You also said that. You said when you're in one extreme, it births another extreme. Okay. May Allah bless you, Sheikh. With this being said, boys, is there anything else that we want to talk about? I did want to give a little reminder, because it's Ramadan, that but I'll let you guys finish.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to get back to emotional intelligence for a bit. There's a book by Sheikh Mikael Smith, and he has a few lectures online as well, where he writes about emotional intelligence, especially from an Islamic perspective, with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being used as an example. And the book he wrote is called With the Heart in Mind. So,
oh,
I lost that book, bro.
Oh, nice.
I literally left it on a plane.
Oh, wow, subhanAllah. Hopefully someone who needed it more picked it up.
They can read. I never thought of it like that, inshallah.
Well, what's up on him?
I don't know, man. I need sleep. That's all I know.
I'm gonna finish my point now, inshallah. So
no. This is not me trying to rush you, bro. By all means, take your time.
No worries, inshallah. So it's not a long point, anyways. But he highlights four traits of an emotionally intelligent person, or four skills that you should have. The first is the ability, obviously, to recognize emotion. You know, you could tell somebody is happy or sad or angry, and you don't confuse them. And sometimes it could be hard. You know, sometimes you don't know if someone's angry or if they're sad. Like, it's kind of like a blank look in the face sometimes. Next is to understand the emotion. You know, and to do that, you have to understand the person. You have to know that this person, you know, it's exam week for them. They just got out of a class. They're really upset. Maybe they don't feel that they did well on whatever this exam was. Another person, you know, maybe they've been struggling with work. They're upset one day. Maybe that's why. So you have to understand emotion. A lot of that comes from listening and hearing people out. Next is the ability to control and regulate your own emotions. Now, this is very difficult, because we discussed emotions are impulses to act. So you have to control these impulses to act. And sometimes the impulse is telling you to scream at this person, to hit this person, to yell, to insult, to make them feel bad. The ego's triggered and jumping in.
Mm.
But controlling that is very important, because if you allow yourself to succumb to anger and go against the hadith of the Prophet where he said, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry, a lot of the time, useless, far from beneficial insults come out. And if anything, it makes the situation a lot worse. Whereas if you dealt with this person, you know, respectfully or in the way it should be dealt with, then it would have yielded a better result. And then the last one, after you recognize, understand, and control your own emotions and understand, recognize other people's emotions, you have to be able, and this is really tough, but be able to use emotion to positively influence people. You have to be able to use emotion to basically trigger an impulse in someone to do something beneficial. You know, think about when you listen to a lecture. You listen to a lecture and it's the person just has an art, a skill, an ability to sway you and move you. You know, they're giving a beautiful lecture on salah, and all of a sudden you want to get up and you want to pray your salah. That's a beautiful example of that. People use emotion to positively motivate you to take action. That is good. And the Prophet ﷺ was a master at this, salah ﷺ.
I did want you to address a comment that some brother Naz asked you. Tell me, why should a person use their emotions in a relationship, or like, why shouldn't we hide it to our partners and wives?
Well, to your partners and wives specifically, hiding it from them is the worst thing you could do. Whether, you know, you're it's a woman to a man, or I'd say even more importantly, a man to a woman. You cannot hide it from your partner. A huge part of your intimacy is going to be emotional. A huge part of any relationship is emotional. Can you imagine one completely emotionless relationship that you have, whether it's, you know, with your parents or your siblings or your brother, or sorry, your spouse or something, your kids? Do not love these people, or at the very least, you feel that these people benefit your life. There is emotion involved. So if you hide it, what are you hiding? Love from your wife? Are you hiding compassion from your wife? Are you hiding understanding and empathy from your wife? You want to make her hate her life? If that's what you want to do, okay, go for it. But if you want to have a good, fruitful relationship and you care about your wife, you're going to have to be emotional with her for your sake and for hers. Otherwise, there's not going to be love involved.
Yeah, and to add to this, there will be moments where you have to put your emotion aside for maybe her, or just for the situation in general. This doesn't mean you're suppressing yourself. It just means that you understand the emotion that you're experiencing, and you understand that it is not beneficial to act out in this emotion, in this experience, right? Like maybe you, and let's say you're married and you're with your wife and you're walking in some place, and maybe your wife is really scared because maybe y'all ended up in the hood or something like this, right? And then maybe you're probably scared too. Like, it might not be beneficial to show your wife that you're scared. You know, like, at this point, you gotta put that aside. And you literally have to accept, like, okay, whatever happens, happens, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to take care of my wife.
You got to be willing to die.
And this is emotion. Exactly. This is emotional intelligence. This is emotional intelligence, bro.
And with this being said, just because we're short on time right now, we're already over the time, but given that it's Ramadan, given that for many people it's the first Ramadan, we're about to break our fast. Anyone that hasn't broken their fast yet, please make a lot of dua right before you break your fast. This is one of the times that dua is most accepted. Inshallah, make dua for whatever you want. But first and foremost, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're grateful that you even got this opportunity to get to this point in the first place. It's not our strengths or physicality or capability that allowed us to fast, but it's Allah giving us all these things. You know what I mean? So make dua to Allah that He made us who we are and got us this far, and that He, inshallah, gives us more life and more years, inshallah. Allahumma ameen.
Allahumma ameen. Allahumma ameen. And with that being said, barakallah feekum, everyone, for attending today's stream. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you all immensely. If you thought that was beneficial, make sure to rewatch it, come back to it, take notes if you need to, share it with those who you think will benefit from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for any of our slips and our mistakes. Anything that is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and anything that is wrong or bad or incorrect is from ourselves. And I will say shaitan, but I'm pretty sure he's imprisoned right now. And shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings and accept from us our good deeds and our fasting, as Brother Fahd has said. And may Allah allow us to be leaders for the righteous. Allahumma ameen. And with that being said, yes, and may Allah free Brother Andrew Tate and guide his brother to Islam and free him as well, inshallah.
Amen.
And with that being said, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.